Hello and welcome to the Career Changers podcast. I'm Elisa Martinic and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of the Career Changers. I'm definitely one of them. I learned from my experience that following our dreams requires courage, self-awareness, and a lot of inner work. I love to discover stories of career change and share them with the world as a source of inspiration for all those who are still searching. Career changes are not a straightforward chronology written in our CVs, but the sum up of our dreams, ambitions, failures, and successes. The Career Changers is an online community that aims to inspire thousands of people during their journey to self-realization. We discover and share inspirational real-life stories of career change. We inspire people that are thinking to change career. We support people that want or need to change career, but feel stuck or lacking confidence and clarity. We connect and collaborate with organizations that support career change across different industries. I believe that thinking to have only one job or career in our life is a limiting belief, unless that job or that career make us happy. Life is a journey, and with one third of our lives spent working, it would be unimaginable to not have a desire to explore new avenues. Welcome to the Career Changers podcast. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Career Changers. In his mid-20s, he had it all: a beautiful girlfriend, high-paying job, sports car, dream body. But he still ended up sitting on the edge of a bed debating suicide. After his rock-bottom moment, he went all in on holistic self-improvement, determined to overcome his anxiety, depression, and to finally live the life he always dreamed of. Years later, after focusing on learning what he didn't know and unlearning a lot too, his life started to shift. Our guest today is Kevin Palmieri, CFO of Next Level University, Global Tech 100 podcast, podcast coach, consultant, trainer, and speaker. Today, we are going to talk about his life story and what you can learn from his experience to get to the next level in your life. Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I'm really excited to learn everything about your life journey. So let's start with your background. How did you start your professional life, or better, what was your first job?
The first job I ever had, I worked in a butcher shop for all of one day because I was doing dishes and I hated it. I did not like it at all. So I think I lasted a day there. And then my first quote unquote real job, I worked at a gas station pumping gas. And in the summer, it was really cool because I got to work outside with my friends. In the winter, it was not cool because I was very cold all of the time, but that was my first real big boy job.
And what was your dream job when you were a child?
I had a bunch of different ones. I think a lot of young children, they do the police officer, firefighter. I had those. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. That was a big one for me. And I also wanted to play baseball professionally. That was also one of my early desires as a young child.
So you like sports a lot?
I do. Yeah. And I actually ended up in high school, I was training to fight mixed martial arts. So the wrestling thing kind of came together in a way, in a different way. So I did pursue that for a few years until I got hurt.
So what is your educational background?
I graduated high school and I realized after high school, I did not want to go to college. So I started working. When I got my first quote unquote job, I think I was 17 or 18. So I've been in the workforce since I was 18. But at one point in my life, I went to the fire academy because I wanted to be a firefighter. That was another piece of my life. So I have graduated the volunteer fire academy and I have the certifications that go with that. But that is as far as my furthered education has gotten.
So part of your story is hitting rock bottom, and it all started when you were very young. You felt like you had many things, but all of a sudden felt unhappy and depressed. What was happening in your life?
I had a lot of external results that I had assumed were going to make me feel a certain way internally. I thought if I have a nice car, I'll be more confident and I'll have more self-love. Or if I have a beautiful partner, I'll be less insecure. And it just got to the point where I had made the most money I had ever made. My girlfriend at the time left me. I was depressed. I was anxious. I knew there had to be more to life, but I just didn't know what it looked like yet. So I spent most of my life trying to look good externally. I wanted to look successful. I wanted to look wealthy. I wanted to be in shape. But I spent very little time working on me internally, my self-love, my self-worth, my self-belief, my ego, all of that stuff. So I think really what happened in the simplest terms is my external life looked really good. Internally, I did not feel that way. And there was too big of a difference between what my life looked like and who I actually felt like as a man.
So at some point you started a journey of holistic self-improvement. How did you come to the realization that you needed to look inside instead of outside?
It took a while. As much as I'd like to say, when my girlfriend left me, I immediately knew that is not the case. When she left me, I was very hurt and I was devastated. And I'm sure I thought she made a giant mistake. And I'm sure I had a lot of ego at the time. But in reflection, probably a year later, in reflection, I remember thinking every relationship I've ever had that has not succeeded, I'm at least 50% responsible for. I mean, are we really going to say it's always the other person's fault? And I don't think that's true for me, right? So
No.
that gave me a little extra necessity to say, okay, I want to be comfortable in who I am as a man. I want to be proud of myself. And I already know all the external stuff isn't going to fix that. Let me try this other thing that I haven't done before and let me see the results I get from that. And it was a very good timing in my life because I started hanging out with my friend, who is now my business partner, and he was all about self-improvement. So he kind of led the way for me on what books to read, what books to listen to, what TED Talks to watch. So I had someone in my corner who was rooting for me, and I think that helped me stay on track and focus on the stuff that I should have been watching.
So, do you remember a specific book or something that was the beginning of this journey of self-exploration? I mean, I'm older, but I remember my mom, she has two books. And at the time, no one was talking about positive thinking and everything. It was an American author. So, I remember where everything started. So, where was the beginning of your journey?
The first self-improvement book, I guess it isn't even really self-improvement, it's finance improvement, was Rich Dad Poor Dad. So the first book I ever remember reading was Rich Dad Poor Dad. But an early book that really, really helped me was a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. I didn't understand that I had a very fixed mindset. I didn't know what a growth mindset was. I thought the way I am today is the way I'm going to be forever. I just always had that assumption. So that to this day is one of the most powerful books I've read just because it helped me understand myself at a deeper level. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the first one. And then I would say Mindset by Carol Dweck is a big one.
Very interesting books. So you say the main thing that changed was me. That I think is a great quote because many times, unless someone starts this journey of self-exploration, it's easier to look at what is outside. What is outside needs to change, but actually, not necessarily the truth. So what did you have to unlearn and what did you have to learn to be able to change your life?
One of the biggest things I had to unlearn, and I'm still unlearning this, it's not gone forever, was how insecure I was when I'd be around people who I was intimidated by. I had a habit of being around someone who was successful, quote unquote, whatever that means. And if they were confident, I would villainize them because I couldn't understand how someone could be that confident. I thought it was arrogance, I thought it was ego. So there was a lot of times where I had to sit down and I had to say, is this a me issue? Am I going through my own thing or is this a them issue? And more often than not, in the beginning, it was this is a me issue. I am responding to the reflection I see in the mirror that they're creating. So I spent years and years and years trying to unlearn that because it wasn't serving me. you most likely are not going to become what you villainize. And I was villainizing people who were confident and successful and had their stuff together, and they just seemed like they were really succeeding at life. So that's a big thing. And then what did I have to learn? I had to learn to shift my relationship with time. A lot of us, completely understandable, we want to be very, very successful, very, very fulfilled, very, very in shape, deeply in love in a passionate relationship, but we want it pretty quick. I don't want to wait a couple years for this to happen. I want this right now. So one of the things I had to learn was it's going to take a long time to get to where I want to get to. And it doesn't mean I'm doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean we don't have the right strategy. Some things just take time. And the stuff that comes very quickly, the results that come very quickly, don't really stick around for a long time. So I had to learn to build a new relationship with time and understand that everything we're doing is a long game. And we might not see results for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, unfortunately.
Yeah, so it's a form of acceptance that time takes time, and also a form of faith that things will happen when the right times comes. So today you're helping people to live the life they dream of through your work. You're helping them moving through the next level in their life, whether that is love, health, or wisdom. In your opinion and through your experience, what are the common reasons that hold people back in life?
I would say misallow, so inaccurate self-belief, inaccurate self-worth, and then the community that you have around you. So inaccurate self-belief. The reason I say inaccurate is because you can have very high self-belief but still not accomplish what you want. You can have very low self-belief and accomplish a lot more than someone who has very high self-belief if you know how to use it. Inaccurate self-belief just means that you're either way better than you think you are, or you're not nearly as good as you think you are. The people who come to you and say, "Well, I could start a podcast if I wanted. I just don't want to." I really appreciate the fact that you believe in yourself, but if your belief does not allow you to take action, you're really never going to get results. On the opposite end of that, there are a lot of people, definitely myself in the beginning, I didn't have belief that I could even do this. So that was definitely holding me back. The self-worth thing is, there are some people who do not believe that they are worthy of their goals, their partner, their body, whatever it is. On the opposite end, there are some people that think they're entitled to success. They're entitled to their dream relationship. They're entitled to make as much money as they want. That's not serving them. So anytime I say accurate, it just means your self-worth and your self-belief are accurate based on who you are as a human, which actually serves you. And then the community. One of the questions that I asked myself early in this, and it was just so powerful for me, are the people in my life the best from my past or the best for my future? And I didn't really like the answer that I had with some of the people in my life, and I had to make some challenging decisions. Getting to the next level of your life, being more fulfilled, whatever success means to you, it's hard enough to accomplish. Never mind if you have people in your life who are negative and they hold you back and they don't want to see you succeed. So I would say those are really the big three that we have come across in the years of doing this: inaccurate self-belief, inaccurate self-worth, and just toxic environment around you.
Yeah, and I think this is the first step. And once you realize, for example, the people that are around you or the environment, then the second part is actually to take action and decide if you have the strength to move forward. So it's
That is
quite,
a hard part. That
yes.
is definitely, it's definitely a hard part. I always suggest if you find that you have a lot of negative people, and negative doesn't necessarily mean these people are saying mean things to you. It just means that they're not putting wind into your wings. I always suggest going and trying to find positive people before you start reallocating time with negative people, because growth can be lonely. So if you can try to find people who you resonate with and who have similar core values and core beliefs and core aspirations, you won't be as lonely when you're growing. And I think that'll make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. So It seems, awareness is one of the first steps, and then there is a decision to take action. But what could be the first step that someone can take to move forward in their life?
I would say the absolute smallest thing. So let's say we'll put one in health, one in wealth, one in love. If right now you don't feel like you're making a ton of progress when it comes to your physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, whatever it is, let's just say physical, instead of saying, I'm going to set this massive goal to change my life, let's just try to build one new habit. So tomorrow when you wake up, jump on the scale. That's it. Step one, build that habit, and then we can build habits on top of those habits. Now, more than ever, I think that we need to create habits that we believe in. So we're coming up, you and I are recording this 2 weeks away from New Year's. One of the reasons New Year's resolutions are really challenging for people is they're saying, I want to change everything this year, or I want to lose 52 pounds this year, instead of saying, I'm going to go to the gym 4 times this month. I think that's a better start because it's more realistic and allows you to get some good feelings with the habits, right? So if it's health, I would say tomorrow when you wake up, weigh yourself. If you're already doing that, maybe you start tracking calories. If you're already doing that, maybe you make sure you're getting 8 hours of sleep. Something simple like that. When it comes to wealth, start tracking your finances if you're not doing it. That's a great place to start, an easy habit. It's going to bring you a lot of awareness and potentially a lot of pain. I remember when I started tracking, I realized I spent like $600 on food every month, and I didn't feel great about that. That was not a good feeling. And then under love, every night before my wife and I go to bed, we play the gratitude game. So we say one thing that we're grateful for about one another. You could do that with yourself. When you wake up, you could journal. I have my notebook next to me. You could journal 3 things I'm grateful for. Don't assume that you're going to do something under wealth today that's going to make you wealthy, something under health today that's going to make you the most healthy you've ever been, or something under love today that's going to make you the most in love you've ever been. It's about small steps. So that's the advice I would give.
So there are a few topics that I would say probably you're covering with the people you're helping. So I just want to mention one by one, if you can say a few quick words about it, why they are
Sure.
important. So let's start with consistency.
Consistency. If you bet me $1 million that I could do the splits by this time next year, I cannot do them right now. I would get hurt pretty badly. It would be in my benefit to practice as consistently as humanly possible. If I did it every day, if I practice the splits every day for the next 365 days, there's no reason I couldn't do them. But if I say, you know what, I'm just going to try one once a week. Once a week should do it. Instead of 365 practices, I only get 52. I am not willing to bet that 52 is going to be enough reps for me to actually get the goal. So consistency is you doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, the right amount of times. And it's really, really hard to win without it.
Let's talk about commitment.
Commitment. I have two frames for this. I want you to imagine a somewhat serious relationship and a committed relationship. Which one would you rather be in? Most likely the committed one, because that means that you're willing to look in the difficult mirrors, you're willing to be vulnerable, you're willing to have the challenging conversations, and ultimately you're committed to being with that person and getting the result of being together and falling more deeply in love and growing together. So commitment to our goals and our dreams is the same thing. It's when the alarm goes off and it's cold and it's dark and you don't want to get up, you have to check in with your commitment of how bad do you actually want this thing. And a lot of people might say, you know what, I don't want it as bad as I said I do. Then you can pivot, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So commitment is just the desire we have for the outcomes that we are chasing.
Let's talk about habits.
Habits. The biggest difference between the person you are today and the person you want to be eventually are your habits. And that's really why we get the results we get in our lives. And going back to something you said earlier, when I mentioned the biggest thing that changed was me, the reason I think that's a powerful statement, the place I got to in my life was not because of anyone else. It was just me making certain decisions for long enough and then unfortunately seeing the negative results of those decisions. Our decisions are our habits oftentimes. So yeah, habits are, it's just what you do. And what you do ends up creating what your life looks like. So start small. They don't have to be massive. They don't have to scare you. But start with something you believe you can do. And you never know what can happen 5 years down the line. I never thought we'd be 1,560 episodes in and I'd track a bunch of habits and I'd learn every day. I started tracking 5 things in the beginning. So 5 simple habits has turned into a very successful business now. That is habits in a nutshell.
So you mentioned earlier on when we were talking about your story, mindset, how you had a wrong mindset at the beginning. So what is the right mindset?
I think the right mindset is a growth mindset. And a growth mindset just suggests that you understand that maybe right now, at this point in your life, you feel a certain way. But that does not mean you can't learn more, grow more, evolve more. The way you are today is not the way you have to be forever, whatever that means to you. You can read more books and you can learn more and take classes and courses and YouTube. It's just the understanding that you are not fixed. You are not stuck in this position for the rest of your life. You have the opportunity to grow, but it starts with you understanding that you are a piece of clay and you can mold yourself into something drastically different than you are today. And the mindset is that it's, how do you see the world? Do you see the world as possibility and opportunity, or do you see the world as it just is what it is and that's the way it's going to be forever? I would say that's a really good understanding of mindset.
So the next one is confidence. And here as well, you had a reference before where you were mentioning that in front of successful people, you were feeling like you'd be vulnerable, let's say. So what do we do with our confidence if we don't have it?
Yeah, I understand that was one of the hardest things for me. You have to, and it just sounds so counterintuitive, but I always connect it to trying a food you've never had before. So if you want to be confident, you have to do the things that you feel you're not confident enough to do to prove to yourself that you can actually do them, but you do them in small doses. So most people are afraid of speaking. Public speaking is one of the biggest fears out there. And I think it's because people imagine themselves talking in front of a giant audience when in the beginning you don't. You start talking to yourself and you talk to the mirror and you talk to your cell phone. And eventually when you feel confident enough, then you can go to a room and get on stage and do it in front of a crowd. So I think all confidence really is certainty. It's the certainty that, number one, I can figure this out. Number two, if I don't figure this out, it's not going to wreck me completely. And number three, if I have the absolute worst case scenario, I'm not going to let it affect my self-worth because I still believe in my ability to do the thing. But I think the first simplest step is to start very, very, very small. You can see that's a theme in what I talk about. Don't do something that scares you at a level 10 out of 10. Do something that scares you at a level 2 out of 10. Something that's just outside of your comfort zone. Not something that's going to create nightmares for you, but something you're a little bit uncomfortable doing. Then when you do it, you realize it's probably not as bad as you thought. You'll have a new relationship with that. And then next time we can do something a little bit scarier. And then eventually you go from whatever it is, standing on the second rung of the ladder to standing at the edge of a building. But it doesn't go from one day to the next. It just takes a longer period of time to do that.
And how can we overcome fear in this process of self-discovery and realization?
Create necessity. So the necessity to do it. Most of us aren't going to overcome our fears just to overcome our fears. There has to be something that we're doing it for. I am terrified of planes. I don't like them. Doesn't make any sense to me how those things fly. Just a giant piece of metal. I don't get it. But if I want to be a speaker who speaks all over the world, I'm going to have to get on a plane. Because if I don't, I'm never going to have that opportunity. My wife and I got married in Colorado, which is across the country from where we lived. If I didn't overcome the fear, I never would have been able to do that. I just wouldn't have had a lot of the opportunities I've had. So create some level of necessity around the fear, not just overcoming the fear itself. That's one. And then have some level of accountability. So who is going to be there to help you overcome the fear? Who can lend some of their belief to you? Someone who is super comfortable on planes, I can go with that person and they can say, look, the turbulence, it's just turbulence. Let me explain it to you. This is fine. So I think having someone in your corner who can help is big. And then I would say the last thing is do a constructive amount of research. So again, let's just use planes as an analogy or an example. When I started flying more, I started watching a lot of videos about planes because I wanted to understand what the noises were and why does it feel like when we're taking off, they turn the engines down. I don't like it and I don't get it. Why do they do that? So the certainty allowed me to have less fear because I was more certain of what was happening. So those three, I think, are a good place to start.
Then we have relationship, but we a little bit covered this before. So let's talk about limiting beliefs.
I think we all have limiting beliefs, all of us. And it's just the thought of recognizing what it is. So let's just say you don't think you're smart enough or you're shy. Number one, who decided that for you? Was it actually you? Or is that something that someone told you in second grade? Then you started to be insecure about it. And then that shows up every single day in your life. I think for a lot of us, our limiting beliefs are from the past. So we have to figure out how to revisit the past to figure out where they came from. And then much to what we just talked about, it's the same thing. It's fear chasing. Your limiting beliefs will limit you for as long as you let them. One day, you'll have the opportunity to do something that scares you a little bit. And that's when we start. And it pushes that limiting belief away a little bit. So I'm shy. I could never do blank. When you do the thing that you said you can never do, it helps you form a new identity. So you can't say that anymore. You can't say I'm shy. I could never do blank because you just did blank. So very similarly to what we said before, I think the only way to break down limiting beliefs is to face them, just like insecurities. If you have an insecurity and you own it and you admit it and you get comfortable with it, eventually it can limit you less. You might still deal with it, but it will limit you less than it used to.
So, well, we just cover fear, but also lack of clarity, confusion sometimes can make us wonder if there is more to life than what we are living. So in your opinion, how can we make us understand if we are heading in the right direction?
Checking in with your core values, your core beliefs, and your core aspirations. So your core values, what do you value as a human being? If you're someone who values family and you're pursuing something that you're working 100 hours a week and you don't get to spend time with your family, that could be a recipe for regret in the future. Core beliefs, what do you believe about the world? I believe that self-improvement is super important. I think if I had self-improvement when I was younger, my life would have looked drastically different. That's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about self-improvement. It's a deep belief that I have. And then the big one is core aspirations. So when I think about core aspirations, I used to just think about what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to accomplish? Now I think of it as what do you want your day-to-day life to look like? Because there's a big difference between accomplishing something and then living a life that actually is required to accomplish it. So one of my favorite questions to ask anytime we're talking about direction, clarity, purpose, if you never had to worry about money again, but you had to do something in the improvement of the world, in the improvement of others, in the improvement of the environment, you were serving someone in a positive way, what would it be? Because oftentimes people will say, well, if I had all the money in the world, I would just sit on the beach and drink margaritas. I don't think that would fulfill you. I think if anything, it would probably drain you. But if you had to do something in the service of others, what would that be? And if you pair all that together, I think it gives you a really good starting point. And you just have to figure out, what do you value? If you value getting the kids off the bus and the job, the career, the thing that you're pursuing is leading you away from that, you might end up regretting that in the future. So just be very honest about yourself. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing because you don't value what everybody else has valued. And I think that's just an important distinction.
So we're reaching the end of this episode. We have a few more questions. So what type of advice would you give to anyone along their path to self-realization? You gave many advice today, but
I would say when you're thinking about the people in your life, get very, very close and stay very, very close to the people who want to see you succeed regardless of themselves. They want to see you succeed, even if you succeeding means spending less time with them or not being around as much. I think those people are amazing to have because they're not going to get any of their limiting beliefs on you. And again, community is such a big thing. So that's a piece of advice I would give anyone.
oh, that's great. No one ever shared that here. And well, really, the last question, if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say to your younger self?
Oof. I would probably say, I know working on yourself isn't considered cool, and you're probably going to get judged by everybody around you for working on yourself. But you're gonna have to work on yourself eventually. So the sooner you start, the better. And the sooner you start, the less work you'll have to uncondition later. So everybody's gonna work on themselves at some point, or they want to work on themselves. Get started now because it's gonna happen anyway. And it's gonna be a lot harder if you wait for the next 15 years. That's probably the advice I would give younger Kev.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for joining us today and sharing your inspirational career and life story and wisdom with our listeners.
Of course, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. And a last message, don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Tune in next week for a new inspirational episode of The Career Changes. Thank you.